I'm joined now by Gail Cruickshank, Talent Director, Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation. Morning, Gail.
Good morning.
All right, so today our topic is transferable skills, which it seems like it comes up almost every time that we chat anyway. But it makes sense now because there are a number of people who have been laid off and might be looking into doing something else with their lives. Maybe they're collecting unemployment now. Can you tell me what are transferable skills that people that are not familiar with that particular term?
Absolutely, Jay. Transferable skills are those skills that you build throughout your career. You take them with you from job to job, and they're not specific to a certain job or even a certain industry. I like to call them your portable skills or your own personal brand, because you've crafted those and fine-tuned those through multiple jobs along the way throughout your career.
So when you're looking at transferable skills, give us some examples of what that might be. What transferable skills do you have in your particular profession that you'd be like, yeah, this would be something that'd be valuable for other jobs too?
Sure. You know, some of the big ones that I like to always suggest that you can always look to continue to develop along the way are things like leadership skills. You know, do you enjoy leading meetings? Are you an organizer? Are you a planner? Can you give effective feedback to your coworkers? That sort of thing. You know, do you like data? You know, are you a numbers person? You know, do you like to take a group of numbers and random research and formulate it into some meaningful feedback to make some decisions for a company to continue to grow and perfect? You know, what are your interpersonal skills like? You know, do you like to, you know, gather people together? Do you like to public speak? Do you love to be on the radio? You know, can you lead an effective conversation so it's a productive outcome? So it's a wide variety of different type of skills. And again, the best way is to, you know, take some time if you are going to make a change and kind of self-reflect as to what am I really good at? Don't think about the job you left, but think about the skills that you needed to do that job. And what do I really love? What am I passionate about? And then also reach out to your friends, coworkers, family, you know, really get their assessment of what are your strengths? Because sometimes we're our worst, you know, cheerleader as far as really reflecting on what we are good at. We always are quick to identify what we're not so good at, but you need to have that outside influence to really help you identify what am I really good at, and then how can I bring that forward in my next career?
And I suppose that really is the challenge, that if you're someone who's thinking, okay, well, I need to move to a different, or I want to move to a different career, that finding what things that you did, if you have some technical skills, if you know how to use computers, or you mentioned public speaking certainly could be a plus, how do you weave those things into a resume when you're applying for a job that you don't have the experience in that field to go to that job?
That's a great question. And again, many times job seekers will say, well, if they have a list of six requirements, I only have three or four of them, so I can't apply. That's absolutely not true. In fact, sometimes those transferable skills that you bring will outweigh the actual requirements or skills for that job that those employers are listing. And so how you weave those in, you weave them in through your cover letter, your resume, any kind of conversation you might have with an employer or potential employer. And what you do is you go to their website, their social media, their job posting, and pull out those words that are critical and important to that employer, and then weave it into your resume and your communication documents that you're submitting for a particular job. And the other thing you want to keep in mind is make sure those transferable skills are at the top of your resume. And a lot of times I'll recommend to what experienced job seekers, ones that have had a number of jobs, actually do a portion of your resume at the very top that is dedicated to just these skills, because you'd be surprised at how much that employer many times only gets through about the top 2/3 of the first page. And if they find a lot that they're interested, then they're going to read the balance of it. So you want to make sure that top of your resume is just popping off the page with exactly what that employer wants to see and hear. So that does mean that you need to make every single resume, you know, fine-tune and specific to that employer. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to totally scrap resume one when you're applying for job two, but you need to make sure that those specific skills that that particular employer or job is looking for is really reflective and bouncing off the page when that recruiter reads your resume.
Gail, would you say that recruiters, those that are looking at resumes and cover letters, are they going to be more interested in the resume or the cover letter? What do they look at first? And maybe it varies.
I think it does vary, and there is not a one standard fits all for that question, unfortunately, for job seekers. But what I have always recommended is put all your documents together, even if you can submit separate documents on an online, you know, application. Make them all one complete document, so it's just a read through, so they're going to scroll through. My opinion, I still think the resume is the most powerful piece you have, but you have to make it meaningful, and it has to make that first impression. So the cover letter is just that overall very short, very brief as to why you're interested, what skills do you bring, and how are you going to be the best fit for that job. Still a very important piece of the puzzle. So again, you want to make them both strong. And again, each recruiter looks at things a little bit differently. But what I can tell you for sure is make sure that top two thirds or top half of your first page of your resume is the most impactful portion of anything that you have. Because as recruiters are going through many resumes, it's got to be what catches their eye. And it means it's those words, it's those key things, those experiences that you've had that are going to align with what they're looking for.
Gail, I know that when I've been looking at, you know, part-time employees, a lot of times when I'm looking at resumes or even full-time positions, I'm looking for how does someone illustrate whether or not they're a hard worker, that they're going to go the extra mile, those types of things. How can you include that in a resume or cover letter that can really get the attention of the recruiter, the employer, that doesn't seem like you're too boastful about how you are? I've always found that to be difficult to try to include that, but yet not seem arrogant at the same time.
Well, absolutely. And you have to use those examples. And again, it's not a long paragraph example, so you have to get good at explaining your message in just a bullet point of a short sentence, that sort of thing. But being able to I highlight some of those examples specific to what they're looking for is going to make you a stronger candidate. And many times now, recruiters are using phone interviews as that first contact. Again, they can be much more efficient. That's the conversation where you need to have all of your examples ready. So if an employer is looking for this skill, make sure you have an example to back that up, because they don't want to hear, oh, I work great with people, or I'm a hard worker, like you mentioned, or, you know, I can do that skill. They want to have an example that backs that up. So give some time to what is my example for this skill or this experience, because that's what an employer is looking for. And the other thing I was going to add is, as people do open up, as the economy starts to open up now, and employers are looking for a lot of people, they're going to want those job seekers that maybe don't necessarily have all of the skill set, but they have the flexibility, adaptability, openness to try new things, you know, ability to roll up your sleeves and really dig right in, even if you have to work your way up. So those type of skills are going to actually probably supersede a lot of the specific industry skills, just to, again, find that right person that's going to be the right fit for that company's mission, vision, and values.
Gail, how do you use transferable skills to get you either into the interview process or while you're in the interview process?
I think those transferable skills are going to be best helping you, because it's showing your versatility. It's showing your wide span of what I bring to the table. It really is that icing on the cake to say, I have those basic skills that you're looking for, employer, but I also bring this, 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 and this. And it just helps those employers think broadly about, this is a candidate that's going to help me and my company grow to the next level, because not only can they do the job I'm maybe considering hiring them for, but they also can help me in this, this, and this. And so again, they're looking for those employees that are going to be there for the long haul, that can continue to grow and move up into future jobs with more responsibility or maybe different aspects of the company.
Gail, if someone has been involved with volunteer work or been a part of boards or committees or things like that in the past, is that something that you include on resumes? And if you do, how do you do that?
Volunteerism is an excellent thing to include in your resume, and I strongly recommend it. And it simply can be those added things at the very bottom about, you know, other involvement, or depending on what you have, you might title them a little bit differently, but they should certainly be at the bottom because, again, you never know what's going to really catch the eye of that employer. Because say you're a big volunteer at United Way, say you do a lot of volunteerism there, that company might also be a great supporter of United Way. And that's going to, again, get that connection going, that they know, they automatically know a little bit more about you because you have a passion for volunteerism, which is a huge plus. And our community is one of the strongest in volunteerism. And so our employers are looking for folks like that. And so it definitely should be included. Again, I'd have, you know, everybody's resume is a little bit, it's a unique story of yourself. So there isn't a one size fits all answer, but they tend to be, those things would be, you know, on the bottom of other interests or other involvement. So you're showing that you're not only doing your job, but you're also contributing back in these ways as well.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those things that we're to be realistic. We know that some jobs will not come back from COVID-19, that right. Some places won't be able to bring back all of their staff. For those people that are on the outside looking in, and maybe they haven't put together a resume before, they're not familiar with even looking for jobs, how can your website and what you do benefit them?
We absolutely have a full gamut of resume resources for you. So if you are a person that is going to be looking for work, and like Jay said, maybe needs to get a little direction on how to get started, our website, greaterstcloudjobspot.com, not only has the portal that shows about anywhere between 35 and 4,000 jobs that are available right now within our 3-county region, but it also has a variety of tools and resources that you as a job seeker can use to help you formulate that resume, formulate the cover letter, practice interviewing, read a little bit more about how you can network. Using LinkedIn is a great resource. And if you haven't ever created a LinkedIn profile, now would be a great time to do that and start to build that network. And the other thing I like to share is be sure to use your resources. So many people are so hesitant to ask for help, and they don't want to appear that, oh, I don't have a job, or I, you know, I'm struggling, or whatever the case might be. There are so many people that are there eager to help. So be it your friends, your family, your coworkers that you might have worked with in the past. Again, ask for their help because they're going to give you some great advice. In addition to GreaterStCloudJobSpot.com, also CareerForce. Used to be called the Workforce Center. They also have just a huge amount of resources that are available for those that are looking for employment. So there's a lot of support here in the community for those that are looking for employment. So again, reach out. And I think the biggest message is take some time to reflect about what you do love before you just jump into looking for that next job, because it might be time for you to look at something different. Because to your point, maybe your job isn't going to be available anymore post-pandemic, but that doesn't mean there aren't numerous opportunities around that can take all your skills and blend them into a new career path.
All right, Gail, thanks. I appreciate your time. As always, look forward to talking to you again next month.
All right. Thanks so much, Jay. Have a great day.
You too. That's Gail Cruikshank, Talent Director, Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation, Greater St. Cloud, jobspot.com or JobSpot. Just go and find out more information. Plus, look for a post of this story later on today at WJON.com, and you'll have a chance to go and find those links and go and do some searching yourself.